Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Aleph. We will begin on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, 6 lines from the bottom. Amar Yehuda, Eidus Hamecheshes Zuzu Bvedikis Ksher B'din Imamnis. As we will, Amit Hashem, soon learn at the beginning of the next parak, the halacha discusses two types of questions that are asked of the Eidim. One is in the category of chakiros. Chakiros are 7 standard questions that are always asked to the Eidim. And bedikas are specific questions. In every case that comes to Beis Din, they ask these specific bedikas questions. And teaches us Rabbi Yehuda that if the Eidim contradict each other in the question of bedikas, the Eidus still is ksheira b'dinei mamnas. In dinei mamnas, the case, it would still be a valid testimony. It seems, and this is the way many Rishonim learn our Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that by dinei mamnas, chakiris are required. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda specifically only discusses a question: what is the halacha regarding a contradiction by bedikos? However, the Meiri and many Rishonim disagree, and they are of the opinion that dinei mamnas do not require question of bedikos either. And what the Gemara, the reason Rabbi Yehuda speaks about the bedikos is because what Rabbi Yehuda means to say is as follows: you don't really have to ask chakiros by dinei mamnas. However, if you did choose to ask chakiros question by dinei mamnas, then the halacha is that the two eidim have to be consistent with each other. And if they contradict each other, their eidus will fall. There's an interesting machlokes between the Shach and the Noy de Bihuda. Again, going back to the situation where, for whatever reason, Beis Din decided to ask Eidim in a dinei mamnas din Torah chakiris question, and one of the Eidim said, "Eini yodeya, I don't know." So, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, by dinei nefashis case, should one of the Eidim say, "Eini yodeya, I don't know," that would disqualify the entire testimony. What will be the halacha by a dinei mamnas case, where Beis Din asked one of the chakiros questions, and one of the aidim said "Eini yodeya"? The Shach says that would disqualify that aid. The Noy de Bihuda disagrees, and actually, the machloikus of the Shach and the Noy de Bihuda really touches on a very fundamental question, which the Mefarshim, as they learn this Gemara, discuss over and over again. And that is the question of the halacha that we discussed, that for Eidus to be considered a valid Eidus, it has to be Eidus Shata Yochel Hazima, that you could fulfill Hazama with that Eidus. Does that then apply also by Eidus of Dinei Mamnas? And it seems that according to the Shach, it has to be Eidus Shata Yochel Hazima, whereas according to the Noy de Bihuda, perhaps it doesn't. And we will believe that to try to bring other rayas to this question. Amar Rava, Mistavim Milsa Rabbi Yehuda, this that Rabbi Yehuda said, that the two Eidim in a dinei mamnas case contradict each other, the Eidus is still valid. If the question was, Becher Amar Ba'anak Arnak Yishchayra, Becher Amar Ba'anak Levona, where the question that was asked, what type of wallet did the Malva have? And one said he had a black wallet, and one said he had a white wallet. So since it's not a fundamental issue, it's not fundamental to the case at hand, therefore, the halacha is that the Eid stands. However, says the Gemara, Rev Yehuda will agree, Echer Amen Mana Shachar, Becher Amen Mana Lovin, that the coin, they disagree, they say different coin. This one says it was a white coin, and this one says it was a black coin, which this is fundamental to the case at hand. There, halacha is Eim Starfim, that these two Eidim cannot the Eidus of these two Eidim cannot combine. Ask the Gemara. It seems that Rabbi Yehuda is distinguishing between Dine Mominus and Dine Nefashis, and saying that a situation which will not be a problem by Dine Mominus would be a problem by Dine Nefashis. Ask the Gemara, V'aniki Shchayr B'dine Nefashis Loi, if there were an inconsistency of this type, like the wallet question by Dine Nefashis, would that disqualify the Eidim? V'am Rav Chisda, Echer Omer B'saif Harga. If one witness says that the murderer killed him with a sword, V'echer Omer B'arir Harga, and the other one says he killed him with a dagger, Ein Ze Nochoin, these two Eidim cannot combine. However, Echer Omer Kalev Shchayrim, if one says that the murderer's clothes were black, and the other one says that the murderer's clothes were white, so we see even by Dine Nefashis, if the question is not an integral question, they could still combine. So why is the Yehuda distinguishing between Dine Nefashis and Dine Mominus? Answers the Gemara, Gavra Karamis, you're asking a question between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Chisda. Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Chisda disagree. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, by Dine Nefashis, the Eidim have to be consistent regarding every question asked. According to Rav Chisda, by Dine Nefashis, also the halacha will be, if it's not a fundamental, integral question, they could contradict each other and still be valid Eidim. Now, Hadoi is even more lenient. And he says, by Dine Mominus, afil echad oimer mana shachar ve'echad oimer mana lavan, one says that it was a black coin and one says it was a white coin, the halacha is mitzdarfin. The two Eidim could combine. And the reason, explains Duran, why Nahadoi takes this position, is because the Nahadoi is of the position of the opinion that there is no requirement to do any questioning of the Eidim to seek consistency, to ask all these types of questions by the Eidim, by Dine Mominus. And therefore, since the entire questioning is not necessary, the halacha would be that even if they contradict each other on a fundamental issue, they still would start from, they could combine. Ask the Gemara Kaman, who is the Hadoi's opinion following? So Gemara wants to suggest it's following the opinion of Rishu ben Karcha. Now, Rabbi Yishu ben Karcha taught us that in the previous year, that if one aid says something happened on Sunday, and the other one says that the event took place on Monday, the halacha is that they can combine. But now the question is, even though Gemara is going to immediately dispute this contention, but if Nahadoi's position is based on Rabbi Yishu ben Karcha, so why does Nahadoi have to state an independent position? Shouldn't they just rely on what Rabbi Yishu ben Karcha said? So explains the Tosfos Rid, that if we would only have a Gemara saying that the halacha is Rabbi Yishu ben Karcha, we would say that Rav Shuba Karcha only allows them to combine in a situation where they're saying the exact same thing. They're not saying that it happened the exact same time, but the story is the same. However, in this Gemara, which Nahadoi is referring to, since the story is not the same, maybe Rav Shuba Ben Karcha would not agree. And if on the other hand, we would only have the Lok Rav Shimon Ben Elazar, I would say that's at least that they're coming to speak about the same event. So they may not have the details the same, but they're speaking about the same event. Whereas Rabbi Yishu ben Karcha, they're clearly not speaking about something that happened at the same time. And that's why Rabbi Shimon Elazar had to speak independently and not just say that we followed our halacha Rabbi Yishu ben Karcha. But says the Gemara, no, Rabbi Shimon Nadoi's position is not necessarily based on what Rabbi Yishu ben Karcha said. Because when did Rabbi Yishu ben Karcha say his din, that the two Eidim could combine, even though they're not speaking about something that happened on the same day? When they don't contradict each other. However, in our case, where they contradict each other, so the Gemara is seeking a basis for Nahadoi's Psak. Says the Gemara, who do Amakai Tana? The Hadoi is based on the following Tana. The Tanya Amr Meshim Elozo. Beisham and Beisil do not disagree in a situation where you have Shtei Kite Edim, two pairs of Edim. Sha'achas Ameris Masayim, Vachas Ameris Mona. Where one pair says that the loiva owes $200 and one pair says that the loiva owes $100. That these two Edim aren't considered contradicting each other and that the Din Torah could stand. Why? Sheyesh Bechlal Masayim Mona. Included in owing $200 is $100. And therefore, Beis Shammai says that the Edom could stand. Now, the Nesivus uses this Gemara, back to what we discussed earlier in our shir, to the Halacha, if by Dine Mominus, you have to have Edeshah to Yochel Azima. Says the Nesivus, here, clearly, we have a Raya, that by Dina Mamas we don't have to have Edeshah to Yochel Azima, because these two pairs are contradicting each other what happened, and yet everybody agrees that it's a valid Edes. Furthermore, ask the Rishonim, according to this Psak, where we have four individuals saying Edes, two of them are saying that the loiva owes $200, and two of them are saying that the loiva owes $100. Isn't this clearly, as the Rishonim, a case of Eidah Shabbat L'Maktsah Shabbat L'Kula? There are two people here saying something inaccurate, saying something not true, because either it's 200 or 100. And don't we have a rule that Eidah Shabbat L'Maktsah Shabbat L'Kula? So I saw a number of terutzim to this question. One terutz is that this concept of Eidah Shabbat L'Maktsah Shabbat L'Kula is only said by Dinei Nefashis, not by Dinei Mominus. Another is where do we say the concept of Eidah Shabbat L'Maktsah Shabbat L'Kula is where we could clearly identify the aid who has become disqualified. Here, we don't know which is the aid that's disqualified, and therefore we don't say Eidah Shabbat L'Maktsah Shabbat L'Kula. Another teretz is where do we say Eidah Shabbat L'Maktsah Shabbat L'Kula is where all of the aidim come together as a group, and there, if one aid becomes disqualified, that disqualifies the entire group. However, here, these two pairs came as separate pairs, and each pair is saying his own testimony, and therefore we won't apply the concept of Eidah Shabbat L'Maktsasa Bat L'Kula. Aman Nechleku, where is there a dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, says Rav Shimon ben Lazar, in a case of Kas Achas, where we have two people, one saying that the loiva owes $200, and one saying that the loiva owes $100. Shebei Shammai, I mean, the Beis Shammai says that under such circumstances we say, Nechleku Edusan, one of them is saying something which is not true, and therefore this pair completely falls. And Beis Hillel says, even in such a case, they can combine, because Yesh Bechlal Masayim Mona. So clearly, Nahadoi suggests the Gemara is following the opinion of Beis Hillel. I saw a very interesting verse from the Aruch Chaim. The Aruch Chaim says, going back to a situation that we discussed in our previous year, the episode in the Torah between the Nochash and Chava. He says, Adam Harisha was told by Hashem, and so did he report to Chava, that only from the Eitz Hadas may they not eat. The Nochash told Chava, Mikola Eitz, that you can't eat from any tree. What was the Nochash's intent by saying that? Because the Nochash wanted that Chava should feel that she was put into an impossible situation, because how could one survive without eating anything? Says the Aruch Chaim, what the Nochash was trying to do was try to have a situation of Kat Achas, one pair, Adam and he, that contradict each other, that the Gemara says, according to Beis Shammai, everything falls under such a situation. The Rishonim ask, Beis Hillel just taught us that if one peer says that the loiva owes, if one aide says that he owes $200 and one aide says that he owes $100, these two aidim cannot combine. These two aidim combine, I'm sorry, do combine that he should have to pay at least $100. Ask the Rishonim. Clearly, one of these two aidim is a liar, because he either owns $200 or he owes $100. So how can we rely on the aidis of someone who's not saying the truth? Says, so some Rishonim answer that this is not considered that they're, we will label them as shakronim, as liars, because we could say that this is just a detail that they weren't really paying attention to, and that's why they had this discrepancy. But that doesn't automatically identify them as shakronim and disqualified edim. Another teretz that Rishonim suggests is that a person is only considered disqualified if he is proven to be a liar by two people. Here, neither of these individuals has two people contradicting what they're saying, and therefore nobody is confirmed here as a liar, and the halacha is that they could combine, that he should have to pay at least $100. However, the Meiri says that this is only in a situation of a halva, where we have this discrepancy, how much money was actually lent, $100 or $200. But were it to be a situation of a haidah, where there's a discrepancy, where one aide says, I heard him admit that he owes $100, and another aide says, I heard him admit that he owes $200, there we can't easily understand this discrepancy, and the halacha will be that even according to Beis Hillel, these two individuals cannot combine to be an aidus for $100. Another interesting question that the Rishonim already discussed is the following situation, where three people came to a city, two men and a woman, and each man says that this woman is his wife. So clearly, we can't consider her the wife of either of these two men. They contradict each other, and they're only an eid echad. But can we at least assume that this woman is an eish esish? Because we have two people declaring her an eish esish. There's only a question of, do we believe him? Who is she an eish esish of? And some Rishonim suggest that this too falls under the category of what Beis Hillel said, Bechlal Masayim Mana, and she will be considered an eish esish. Others say that the only time that we could consider Bechlal Masayim Mana is in a situation of Edim, who are not speaking about something that refers to they themselves. Here, where we have these two individuals are speaking that she is their wife, and they're contradicting each other, we don't take into consideration at all what they say, and she will not be considered halachically an eish esish. Continues the Gemara, discussing contradictory testimony. One witness says that a person lent a barrel of wine, and the other witness says it was a barrel of oil. And a barrel of oil is much more expensive than a barrel of wine. Have of the vasla kamed Rav Ami. Such a question came to Rav Ami. Chai Rav Ami l'shnumalei chavita d'chamra. He said that he has to pay at least the value, has to pay at least a barrel of wine. Migui chavita d'mishcha. Bechlal masayim mana, and therefore oil is included in wine. Here too we have a raya that even though they contradict each other on a fundamental issue, was it wine or oil, it doesn't necessarily disqualify them from being edim. Otherwise the Gemara should have said that they're disqualified because they have a discrepancy in something very fundamental. Ask the Gemara, come on. Rav Ami that said that they have to pay at least for the barrel of wine, so the Gemara wants to say, is following the opinion of Shimon Elazar, who said according to Beis Hillel, and once said 200 and once said 100, Yesh Bechlal Masayim Mana, and you'll have to pay at least 100. Ask the Gemara, Eimadam Rav Shimon ben Elazar, when did Rav Shimon ben Elazar say his Pesach, Heich the Yesh Bechlal Masayim Mana, Kai Gavna, but in a case where these two statements are incompatible. Mi Omar, the Rav Shimon ben Elazar say his psak, says the Gemara lo tzricha. What the case that here the Gemara is referring to was Ladami. They didn't say there was a barrel of wine or a barrel of oil, because these two statements, as we just said, are obviously self-contradictory. Rather, the situation here was where one said he owed the value of a barrel of oil, which is much more than the other one saying that he owed the value of a barrel of wine, and that's why these two statements, it's a situation yesh b'chlab asayim on him. Continues the Gemara. Echraim b'diyuta hel yoyna. It once says that the halva took place, the loan took place in the upper story of the house. Echraim b'diyuta tachtoina, in the lower story. Amar Rav Chanina, masabal afnei Rebbe, such a situation came before Rebbe, v'tzirif edusa. Here too, there are rishonim that want to bring a raya that by dinei mamonis, we don't have to have edus shata yochel azima. Because here the two Edim are clearly saying that the event took place in different places, and yet we're allowing them to combine. So this should, it seem, be a raya that by din and mamnis we don't need to have Edus Shata Yochel Azima. However, the Rishonim say that this is actually not a raya. Because when is there a situation of Edus that you have to be able to be mazim the Edim? That if one Ed said something took place in America, and another Eid said that something took place in Israel, these two Eidim cannot combine. But if they both say that it took place in the same house, the extent of their disagreement is that it take place on the upper story of the home or in the lower story of the home. This clearly remains Eidus Shati Yochel Azima, Eidus that is susceptible to Azama, because you could say you weren't by that house, you were by elsewhere, and therefore we don't have a Raya. The question that remains is what would be the halakha by Dina Nefashis? If you had one aide saying that the murder took place in the upper story of a home, and another aide said that the murder took place in the lower story of a home, could those two aidim combine? Dina Mamanis, the Gemara clearly is paskening, they could combine. What would be the halakha by Dina Nefashis is actually subject to dispute. We learned in the Mishnah, how do we know when the Dayanim leave the Bezdin? They shouldn't say to the litigants, I wanted to acquit you, I wanted to convict you. I wanted to acquit you, but my friend, my colleagues didn't allow. Says the Gemara, there was a rumor about a certain Talmud, the Golem Nilsa the Itma Bei Midrasha, that he revealed a secret that had been spoken about in the yeshiva, Boston Esther Vatatishnin, after 22 years. And after Reb Ami Bei Midrasha, Rev Ami removed him from the Bei Samedrash, Amri, because he said, Dein Galay Razia. He's a person that can't keep a secret. So Mefarshim explained the focus on the number 22. And they explain that the number 22 here reflects that we find in the Torah that Yaakov was notified of a secret after 22 years. 22 years after Yosef was sold, he was informed of Yosef being sold. And that's why this Talmud thought that he could reveal secrets, but he was removed because you're not supposed to. The Gra has a different approach to this Gemara. He says that the Gemara says in Masechet Ksubos that there was a subject the Rav and Rav Yosef tried to understand, and it took him 22 years to be able to understand. So as I understand what the Gra is saying is as follows. The Gra is teaching us that if we have a Talmud in the yeshiva who we see is not successful, we give him 22 years to perhaps improve and become successful in his learning. And therefore, even though this Talmud had this issue that he was revealing secrets, still for 22 years, they kept him in the yeshiva with the hope that he would improve. Only after 22 years that they saw that there was no that he wasn't changing, that they remove him from the yeshiva. Which the Paiskim used to discuss a very fundamental question: under which circumstances may a Talmud be expelled from yeshiva? And from our Gemara, it clearly is indicative that we're very reluctant to expel a Talmud from yeshiva. Of course, we're not referring here to a situation, the Mechus Shloima and the Mishnah Halacha say this, where he's perhaps a bad influence on the other Talmidim, that changes the circumstances. But if the concern is only that he is not being successful in his learning, we try to give him as much of a chance as possible to become successful. The Chafetz Chaim asks a question. The Rambam paskins the Kol Milso, there's Amr Bebeit Losa, if something is revealed to three people, less Belishna Bish, there's no concern of Lashon Hara. Why is there no concern of Lashon Hara? Because once three people know it, at least according to the Rambam, and the Mishnah Brura brings the Chafetz Chaim and Sefer Shmiras HaLashon brings many Rishonim that perhaps disagree with the Rambam. But according to the opinion of the Rambam, why was there a problem of him revealing a secret? Obviously, there were many people that knew what was going on because this took place in the Beis HaMedrash. Says the Tzeivet Teres Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim says the same, that in a case where something is being told that it's a secret, even if it's being told to a large group of individuals, like in Al Gemara, where it was mentioned in the Beis HaMedrash, when something is told to the person who's hearing it, and he's told specifically that this information is confidential, he may not repeat it to anyone, even though there were many people that were aware, that are aware of what was being said. I also saw a very interesting tshuva from Yitzhak Zilberstein based on this Gemara. He discusses the question of, the way he describes the question is two situations. One is where a medical school sends its students to do some interning at a hospital. And the doctors in the hospital are supposed to write evaluations of the students. Or in a situation of a school where the teachers and the principals are supposed to write evaluations of the students and the other teachers, for example. And the question is, can these evaluations be dictated to a secretary? Because the secretary doesn't need to know, and therefore it's a question if the doctor's evaluation or the principal's evaluation is a negative evaluation, isn't this considered Lashon Hara? He quotes his father-in-law, Rabbi Yosef, who clearly considers this a situation of Lashon Hara, and he says that the doctor should write or type up his own evaluation and not dictate it to a secretary. And he includes, in fact, saying that Rabbi Yosef said that if the doctor doesn't have time, he says the doctor should take vacation time to write it rather than this of Lashon Hara. The Tzitz Eliezer disagrees. He says that since this is the way it works in the business world or in any environment, that people have assistants when these students or these teachers were accepted in the school, in the hospital, they realized that the secretary is going to become aware of these perhaps confidential information, and they accepted and understood that and knew that, and therefore it doesn't fall into the category of Rechilus and Lashon Hara, or as our Gemara is so strict about revealing secrets. Says the Mishnah, Kozman Shemevi Raya, even after a verdict is issued, if a litigant brings Raya to support his claim, the halacha is Soisa Sadin. They nullify the verdict and we start again. However, says the Gemara, Amaloi, if the court said to the litigant, Koraya Shiyesh Lecha, any Raya that you have, you have 30 days to bring. And as the Farshim point out, this is not the way a Bezdin typically works. A Bezdin doesn't typically issue these kind of instructions. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where at the request and the urging of one of the litigants, did the Bezdin agree to do so. So they said, "Kol raish yesh lecha, havei mikan at 30 yom. Any rye that you have, bring within 30 days. Matzah b'tan 30 yom. So if he does find rye, soyser, he nullifies the verdict. Lach 30 yom, after 30 days, ain soyser, he no longer has the ability to nullify the verdict. Amar Shimon Gamliel, ma yas zeshlei matzah b'tan 30. And what is if somebody couldn't find the rise before 30 days, or matz lachashloshim, he only was able to find them after 30 days. Would that mean that he loses? Amaloi. Another case. Havei Edim. They told him bring Edim. And he says, only Edim. I don't have Edim to support my case. Amar Havei Raya. Bring evidence to support your side. Bama only Raya. Ula achazman Havi Raya. And after a while, he does bring evidence, or matz edim, he brings witnesses, hareza in a klum. Because we have to be suspicious that he forged evidence, or he hired false edim. And here too, Aram Shimon Gamliel, ma yasezesh shelo yadeh sheyesh lo edim, watch a person who wasn't aware that he had edim, and then baruch shem matz edim, or lo yadeh sheyesh lo raya, he didn't know that he has evidence, and now matz raya. However, now the Mishnah brings a third case where there is no machlokes. Rosh Mishchai B'din. If somebody, if a litigant saw that he's about to lose the Din Torah, Vama, clear of a pluni and pluni v'yaduni, let such people come and testify for me. Because here, he obviously knew about these people all along. And what must have been the case is that these are false edim, a false test evidence, which he didn't want to rely on. But only now when he saw that he's losing the case, did he bring them. Amar Barav Hanuna, Halach Kerb Shimon Ben Gamliel, the Halach Kerb Shimon Gamliel, Amar Barav Huna, the En Halach Kedivri Chachamim, the Halach doesn't follow the Chachamim. Ask the Gemara, that's going back to the first Machloikis, in a situation that if you could bring Edom after the imposed time that Bezdin gave. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, Kivin the Omer, once Rabbi Rafuna said that the Halach is Krib Shimon Gamliel, Memele Yodana Dein Halach HaKachamim. It's obvious that the Halach doesn't follow the Chachamim. Why do you have to say both? Answers Gemara, Ma Yotay Mehani Mili L'Chatchila, that only L'Chatchila do we follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Ava the evidence, if the court followed the opinion of the Chachamim, and they rejected the evidence after 30 days. Shapadami, but the ever we rely on the opinion of the Chachamim, Kamash Malan, that's why the teaches us Rabbi Huna, that we follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel to the extent that even if he avad Madrid and Lay, even if Bezdin followed the opinion of the Chachamim, we reverse what they did. The next case was, Amalei Havei Edim. If the court told him, bring Edim, bring with evidence. He says, I don't have. And then he brings. Chum hold, he's not Neman. And Rishon Gamliel says he is. Am Rav Barav Huna. Am Rav Yochanan. Halacha kedivrei Chachamim. V'am Rav Barav Huna. Am Rav Yochanan. Ein halacha kedivrei Chachamim. Ask the Gemara again the same question. Pshita. Kivin am halacha kedivrei Chachamim. Once he said the halacha follows the Chachamim, Memele Yodana, the Ein Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel. Isn't it obvious that the halacha doesn't fill Rav Shimon Gamliel? Now, ask Rashi, why doesn't the Gemara teach us the same answer? Because that the point here is to teach us that we don't even follow the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, but the Yevid. So Rashi says a very nice teretz. In the previous case, we were following the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, even though he's a Yachid, versus the opinion of the Chachamim, who are a rabbin. So we think that at least b'di'evid, we should follow the opinion of a rabbin. But here we're passing like the rabbin. So of course, we don't rely on the opinion of a yochid, even b'di'evid. So we're back to our question. Why did he both have to say that the halach is like the Chachamim, and then further say that the halach is not like of Shimon Gamliel? Answers the Gemara Hakamashman. He's coming to teach us that behi ain halach kerb Shimon Gamliel. It's only in this situation that we don't follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, habakula, and all other areas of halacha. The halachas of Shimon, it is like of Shimon Gamliel. So ask the Rishonim. If so, why did Rabbi Rav Huna have to pass the halach kerb Shimon Gamliel if the halacha is always like of Shimon Gamliel? So I saw two answers. One answer is the Rabbi Rav Huna is not obligated to follow this statement that we always follow the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. He doesn't hold that way. And that's why here we have to say that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Another teretz is that Rabbi Rav Huna indeed holds that the halacha is always like Rav Shimon Gamliel. But since we find that in this Mishnah, the second case of the Mishnah, is an exception to that rule, and here we don't follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, so one would think it's not only in the second case of our Mishnah that we don't follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, but it's also in the first case of our Mishnah that we don't follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Teaches us Rabbi Rav Huna, it's only in the second case that we're not following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. But in the first case, we will follow the general rule that the halacha follows of Shimon Gamliel. Lafuke mihada amam. Rabbi Bar Avchana, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Kol makom shana Rav Gamliel mishum seinu halach kamaisai, that the halach always follows him. Chutz mitzarev et sidin, the case of a guarantor. Machlok between Shimon Gamliel and Rabbanim sechet Bar Basra. Tzidit is a machlok from sechet Gittin and Raya Achroina. According to Rabbi Avchana, Rabbi Yochanan holds that this is the only case where halach doesn't follow Rav Shimon Gamliel. Says the Gemara. The Tavula Dina Kameder of Nachman. There was a child who was taken to a dentira by regarding a debt that his father, who had passed away, supposedly owed money. And the Rishonim all asked the question. We know that children are not taken to dentira. The Yesoimim are not taken to dentira. So how did this dentira take place? So one teretz I saw. It's referring to the ksuvas. It's talking about the mother's ksuva, the father's wife's ksuva. That the halacha is that such a din Torah, even Yisayim and Ketanim are taken to. But there's another answer to this question, which really speaks to the entire sugya. Here, when we speak about yenuka, it doesn't specifically mean a child. It means even an adult. But since he was a child and wasn't aware of his father's affairs, here he's considered a yenuka, even though he's actually an adult. Amalei, so they asked the child, Islech Sadi, do you have witnesses to back up your position? Amalei loy. Yeshlech Arai, do you have evidence? Amalei loy. Chayvei Rav Nachman, have a kabach of Ozli, was crying. Shemur Hanachinshi, and people found him crying. Amalei, Ananya Dim Mila Devuch, we could say testimony on your behalf. Amalei Rav Nachman, says Rav Nachman, Baha Afila Rabbanu Moda. Here even the Rabbanu would agree that they could, that we reopen the case. Why? The Yenuka B'mila Davu Lo Yada. Children aren't familiar with what their father, with their father's affairs, and therefore the fact that he said he doesn't have witnesses or evidence isn't taken that seriously. Says the Gemara further. Hehi Itis of the Nafik Shtar Matusu Yada. There was a woman who had a shtar that had been left by her by the Malvin the Loiva. Omala, and she said, Yadana Beba Hai Shtara, I could say testimony about this shtar, the Priya Hayafa, that it's a paid up document. Him the Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman accepted her testimony. Omala Ravala Rav Nachman command, who are you saying this according? Krebi, Dharma Oisius Niknas B'Masira. And we have Machlaikas Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Rashi says, Oisius Niknas B'Masira, and therefore she is considered the owner of this document, and since she's considered the owner of this document, she is believed whatever she says about it. Other Rishonim disagree. They say that she's not necessarily the owner. The fact that she has the document in her possession, which if she wanted to have a migui, she could say she's the owner of the document, so because of that migui, we accept what she says when she says that it was paid up. Amalei, Shani Hacha, says Rav Nachman, but we know that this is a question, and not everybody agrees that a document, just because you possess a document, means you're the owner of the document. So how come she's believed? Says the Gemara, Shani Hacha, the boy Kalsi. She could have always burnt this document, and that's why she's believed whatever she says about it. Ikedamri, there's a different version, the Lohim, the Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman did not accept what she said. Amalei, Rava or Rav Nachman. So Rava asked Rav Nachman, why is she not believed? Vaibayi, Kasa, she could have burnt it. So since she could have burnt it, that should give her a migui that she should be believed. Answers the Gemara, Kivan the Schazik Bebeidina, once it was Mekoyim, once it was certified by Bezdin, Ibai Kassel and Rinan, we don't say this Migui anymore. So Machlokes Rishayim here too, how to understand the Gemara. Rashi seems to learn that any document which is a certified document is not a document that we could claim issues about and say Miguis to discredit. Taisa says a different shot. That when the document was certified, Bezdin obviously reviewed what the document said. And Bezdin remembered what the document said. So therefore we don't need hard testimony. Bezdin independently knows that this money is owed. Esvei, Rav to Rav Nachman, as Rav to Rav Nachman, Simpin. If we have a receipt that has on it Edom, that sign, the halacha is Yiskayim b'chesamav. The witnesses should certify that their signatures are authentic, and a love Edom. But if there are no signatures, the yoytz mitaksidei shlish, but a third party is holding it, oishiyatz achchevshtim chitum shtaris, or it comes out in court below the signatures of the note. That means it's not written, the certification is not written on a separate piece of paper, but it was appended to the original shtar below the signatures. The halacha is kosher. We consider when the receipt comes out from the hands of a shalish, of a third party, who says it's authentic, his word is accepted if both everybody agrees that they left it with him. When the receipt was attended to the shtar, it's also a raya that this is emes. So we see, Alma, that if something is in the hands of a shalish, mehemen, we believe him, which is to yufta the Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's position that if the shtar came out from a shalish, she isn't necessarily believed, is actually refuted. There's interesting some cipher that questions what is the proper word. Is the word shalish or is it the word shalit? And says the Chassam Sofer that this actually depends on a machloikis rishonim. We learned the Gemara that here there's no dispute between the Malva and the Loiva that this individual was indeed the shalish. What would be a halacha that if the Malva claims that this person is not a shalish? What would be the din? Says the Chassam Sofer, if we call it shalish, as long as a third party is holding it, the fact that the Malva agrees, the fact that a third party is holding it is not enough. It has to be a third party that both the Malva and Loiva agreed that they left it by this third party. However, if we call a shalish a shalit, a ruler, then even as long as the shtar is in that shalish's hands, it makes no difference if the Malva agrees that he left it with that individual or not. A shalish, a third party holding a shtar, is in the category of a shalit, and he is believed. Says the Gemara, Kasser of Dimi Amr Yochanan, Loyla may be Raiva Saiser. A litigant could always bring new evidence and nullify a psak at Shiyosim Tenoisov until he closes the argument by saying, V'yimu kurva pluni pluni v'aduni. He closes arguments that he says that he has no other edim, no other evidence, and then he does call other edim. Ask the Gemara, let's try and understand this. Haguf kasha. Amrit yisasim tenosif. That we're learning that a litigant can only bring new testimony until he closes his arguments. Aslan Rabbanan. This follows the opinion of Rabbanan, that once he makes such a declaration, he can no longer bring new testimony or edim. V'ada amrit, and then he says, kivish plenty plenty viduni, that he can still bring further witnesses or testimony, evidence. Isn't that following the opinion of Aslan Shimon Gamliel? V'chi teima, if you're going to suggest that what he's saying is kulav Shimon Gamliel, or purush kamafarish. My atchiyasim to myself, what is the definition of reclosing his arguments? Atchiyayim akirva pluni pluni venduni. Until he says, after he said he has no further evidence, let these people come and say testimony. And if he indeed will bring edim or evidence later, that will be accepted. Ask the Gemara, how can we pass in that way? Didn't we just say, Amar Rabbi Bochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, come up with Shoshana Rabbi Mubim, Mr. Sain, Allah to Moisai, Chut Mitzidim Varaya, Ora Vitzidim Varaya Vachroina, that we don't follow Shim Gamaliel's position in this case? Ella, Kyosar, Mul Bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Loyal Mevi Raya Vesaiser. A person could always bring new evidence to nullify a verdict. At Shiyosim to Moisai, until he closes his arguments, and therefore Bezdin asks him, Havei Edim, do you have more witnesses? V'aymer, and he says, Ainli Edim, I have no more witnesses. Bezdin asks him, Havei Raya, do you have any further evidence? V'aymer, Ainli Raya, I have no further evidence. Aval, Ba Medein Sayyam, if Edim came from overseas, Oishay Diskishal Avim Mufkaris B'yadachar, a briefcase full of evidence, of documents, of the father's documents, were found elsewhere. Even the Rabbanan will agree, Hareza maybe Rai Vesoyser, that this new evidence may be entered and overturned the previous case. Says the Gemara further, Kiyasar Avdimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hatoykev es Chaver B'din, if somebody takes another person to Din Torah, Ata Echer Oymen Nodin Kan, and one says, let us litigate the case here, before the local court, and the other one says, let's go to a bigger Bezdin. We force him to go to the Makam Havad. Rebbe, I don't understand what you're saying. If somebody's claiming that I owe him $100, Yoitz Man Al Man, and now this person wants me to have to go to Din Torah far away, will I have to spend now even more money? Al Kaifanai Saivadam Bi Irai. From here, Tosfos and the Rishonim point out that we have a raya that court cost and travel cost cannot be taken from my opponent. Because otherwise, what's the Gemara saying? He could always get his expenses paid back. Itmanami Amr of Safra, Shnayim Shnus Atzmu Bedin. If you have two people in the Torah, Echra Oymer Nodin Kan, Vechra Oymer Neilch Lamakum Avad, the Halach is Kaifanai Savadam Bi Iroi. However, from Hutruch Davalishav, if there's a question the local Bezdin can't answer, Kaisin Vishalchim, then if they can't decide locally, they ask guidance from the more experienced Bezdin. V'mama, kisnu v'tnuli me'ez etam d'ntuni. If one of the litigants asks, give me a written psak, what was the basis for the psak? The halacha is, kos from the nice and light, we write it out. And this is really the subject of much discussion, if Bezdin is obligated to write a psak. If so, is Bezdin is obligated to write a psak? It seems that most Rishonim and Paiskim are of the opinion that Bezdin is not obligated to write a psak unless one of the litigants so requests. That's one situation. Or another case is if the two litigants, as they began the Din Torah, told the Bezdin, and this was a condition set forth at the beginning, that they want the psak to be committed to writing. There are other Rishonim that say that under all circumstances a psak should be written, because like that avoids a problem. There are other Paiskim that say the psak doesn't get written, but rather what happens is the Bezdin is only obligated to write the sequence of events as they saw what happened. Another interesting halach I saw from Reb Cheskel Abramsky, where even in a case where Bezdin writes the psak is not written until first the litigants fulfill what Bezdin said. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, V'yivamah halachas acha yovim, the yivamah follows the yovim latira to do chalitza. Ad kama, how far? Amar Rav Ami, afil mitferi litzipuri. Arav Gana, my crow, where do we see this in the Pasuk? V'kar lo'zikne iroi, v'lo'zikne iro. You go to his city, not her city, the city of the Yavam. We force them to go to the Makom Avad for Din Torah. We just learned that the Torah takes place locally. They're not obligated to go to the Makom Avad. Answers the Gemara, if the Loiv is the one that wants to go to the Makom Avad, the Malva doesn't have to go. Ava Malva, if it's the Malva that wants to go, the Loch is Evid Loivil Ish Malva, and the Loiv has to follow. However, the Rishonim point out that even though the Gemara is saying that the Malva could force the Loiva to go to where he wants the Torah to take place, that's only if the Malva has at least some basic evidence indicating that he has a valid case. But just that a Malva should approach a Loiva and say, I want to take you to the Torah, and that the Loiva should have to go through the expense and the bother of having to have to travel to the Makom Avad, certainly he would not be obligated to do. Continues the Gemara. Shochle Lamarukfa. Somebody whose face shines like Barbisya. And here the Mefarshim discussed this word Barbisya. There is a girsa that says not Barbisya, Ben Beisoy. Like somebody whose face shines like the person who was a Ben Bayis by Hashem, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu. Others say, again, it means Moshe Rabbeinu, but why is Moshe Rabbeinu compared to Barbisya? So Mefarshim discussed. Many Mefarshim discuss this, Rashi discusses it, that Marukva was about tshuva. He once did an Aveira with a woman. And afterwards, he did tshuva. And because he did tshuva, he's compared to Basya, the daughter of Paroi, who also did tshuva. As we know, Rashi says, she went lirchatz miglul avir, she went to convert. So just like Basya was about tshuva, so too was Barukva about tshuva. And actually, they say Moshe Rabbeinu, Reb Tzadik says this, was also that category. Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in the palace of Paroi and threw it all away, and that's why they're all connected by being called Barbisya. Shalom, they said in peace. Ukvin Abavu Kolba Kamani. Ukvin the Bavel complained before us. Yimei Achi Hevi Elias Aderech. My brother Yirmiyah acted improperly towards me. Some say it was a financial issue, he cheated me. Others say he castrated me. Vomerle hisiu v'yer p'nei b'tferia. So let him come to Tveria for Din Torah. Ask the Gemara haguf akasha. Let's understand this message. Amrit amruloi that they told this to Ukvin. Ama deinin atin. You mean to tell Mar Ukva you should deal with this case in Bavel. So he see you the year of Penena B'Tveria, but then he say that the case should take place in Tveria, Alma Shadru HaHacha. So what's going on? Does it take place in Tveria, or should it take place in Bavel? Elocha Kama. This is what happened. Armalei Dainu Atan. They told Yirmiyah, you should take on this case. They told Ukvin, you should take on the case. It says, if Yirmiyah will listen to your ruling, Tzais, very good. Viloi, if he won't listen to your ruling, Hisiu V'yiru Paneinu B'Tveria, let him come to the Din Torah in Tveria. If he refuses to obey you, because he says, this is the way Tysus says, because he wants to have a greater Bezdin, the Bezdin HaGodl in Tveria, send him to us. Ravashi says, the message went as follows. Dine Knossos Hava. It was an entire that involved Dine Knossos. And as we learned at the beginning of our Masechta, over Bavaloi Dine Dine Knossos. They sent him, and therefore, Mar Ukva, even though as great as he was, could not undertake this Dentara, because in Bavaloi they didn't pass Dine Knossos. So why was the message sent in this way? Could they lack cover the Mar Ukva? To show respect to Mar Ukva, that even though he can't in any way undertake this Din Torah, because it's a Din Knossos, they didn't want to say it to him so bluntly. They spoke to him in the most respectful manner. And that is in fact what the Midrash says is the lesson as we finish this parak, that Talmidei Chachamim, even if they don't agree, even if there's, as we've learned they don't, the Beis Din is always not always unanimous, but Talmid Chacham always should act with covet, with respect and derech eretz to each other. Hadron lach sabayr, hadron lach sabayr, hadron lach sabayr.